This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Giannis has that look tonight. He is hyper-focused. He is not going to let this team lose.
2 weeks ago, we thought his season was over.
Fakes the three. Now spins in the lane by Aiden, lays it in. What a move by Giannis.
And in the second half, it was all Giannis. I'm not going
to
lie.
Inside to Giannis. Turns, 10-footer. Goes down. 49 for Giannis.
And we did it. We did it, man.
I'll tell you what, that was one for the ages as far as performances go. Wow. One for the ages.
Wow.
Unbelievable. It is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus as Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks are champions. Milwaukee wins the championship for the first time since 1971, 50 years, and Giannis with one of the all-time great playoff or NBA Finals closeout performances. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn, along with Bart Scott, right here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline, and we are starting with Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Before we say anything, let's let Giannis talk about this moment.
Started playing basketball just to, you know, help my family, you know, try to get them out of the struggle, you know, the challenges we were facing when we were kids. But man, I never thought, you know, I'm going to be 26 years old, you know, with my team playing the NBA Finals, just playing. And like, I was just happy just being a part, like, you know, not even winning, just being a part of this journey, you know. And, but I never thought ever when I'd be 26, you know, I'd be sitting in this chair with this right here and this right here. Man, we've come a long way. You know, don't let nobody tell you what you can be and what you cannot do. You know, people told me I can't make free throws. I made my free throws tonight, and I'm a freaking champion. I made them and I'm supposed to make them. You know, but I'm joking. Actually, I'm not, but yeah, just believe, man. Just I hope I give people around the world, from Africa, from Europe, give them hope, you know, that it can be done.
Amazing.
That's what it's all about, man. And I think that's why it's so easy to root for this guy. Even amongst the journey when he was down, his team was down 0-2 twice. And, you know, you know the narrative that was being said, Budenholzer, job on the line, Giannis can't, you know, win. Who's the right Batman? Who's Robin? Can you win with Giannis as your number one? Is he Scottie Pippen or Michael Jordan? I think this series, you know, dispels and takes away everything that was said about him and Budenholzer, right?
Yep.
You know, because nothing you can say. Once you win that title, everything, every narrative that was before the title is going away. Remember, people don't remember, at some point those same words were said about Michael Jordan. A lot of those were said about LeBron James when he passed to Daniel Marshall and decided not to take the big shot. You know, how could you not take that shot? And, you know, like I say all the time, and people that listen to the show regularly has always heard me use this quote, what is made lasts longer than what is born. Right, and you talk about it, and I love that split screen that they had up of Giannis at 198 pounds saying he was malnourished, and then you see him at 242 pounds. Well, for somebody that went to college at 198 and left at 240, you don't do that overnight. That's consistent, hard work, dedication, attention to detail. Look at him, man. He looks like a kid, a baby, and I understand he was young, but look at his body. You don't put on 40-something pounds of pure muscle and athleticism if you're not putting in the work. And he did it in the shadows where guys do it, right? Because what you do in the dark is seen in the light, and when the light was the brightest, all the hard work, everything that he did, you know, came up. And listen, he joked about his free throws. Right? This is why he's different than a guy like Ben Simmons, right? Because he's not afraid to fail.
Nope.
And your opinion of him does not matter. And he's not afraid to take the big shot at the big moment. And you're talking about after he didn't really close out the game five, he missed some pivotal free throws, but him to step to the line with that type of confidence and go 17 from 19 shows you what this dude is made out of. It shows you the thing when we talk about intangibles, things that you can't see. You can't see somebody's will, determination, and most importantly, you can't see that heart. And this guy has heart, no matter if you disagree with how he plays, if you don't think his skill set is amazing. We witnessed this guy become a modern-day Shaq, and I know it's a popular opinion on this air and on this station, but you have to deny that this is almost the evolution of Shaq, because we never expect him to dominate like we see Kevin Durant. He's a guy that dominates in the paint, but he's a guy that no matter what you do, and you know he's going to do it and what he's going to try and do, you can't stop it.
There are a few things that really stuck out to me about this. Number one, you think about these playoffs for the Bucks, and you and I sat here and were at one point really not that impressed with what he was doing.
Yeah.
But this was a team that, because like he was great, but he was not everything you needed him to be in different spots, would look to Chris Middleton to be the guy in big situations. Last night, we always talk about the closeout game being the most difficult.
Yeah.
There's nobody I've seen who respected that notion more than Giannis did, because he wasn't letting anybody else have the ball, but it wasn't a situation of, I'm going to try to go win this on my own. Right. This is, I know this is how we're going to win. And to juxtapose that, like, I'm watching Devin Booker last night. It's not a knock on him, but he was trying to do it all himself, but putting himself in bad situations to do it. Yes, Giannis is physically dominant. There is no getting around that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, Bart, he used every single skill that was in his arsenal last night
to win that game. He was in his bag. And, like, listen, this is the thing, right? Devin Booker is a great player, and I think he's an ascending player. But what you saw was you saw the warts, you saw the scar tissue from Giannis. You saw the heartbreak. You saw the anguish. You saw the pain. So when he got to that spot, he knew what to draw upon, right? Because remember, we've seen Giannis before. When things got tight, he tried to put it on his shoulders, and he tried to go to the basket. He tried to go around the wall. You think about the Toronto series. You think about all the disappointments that they've had. This time, he said, you know what? I developed the Euro step. I developed a way to try and counter these guys. You saw him spinning and avoiding contact, not being a guy that's going to be able to get drawn a foul on because somebody's taking a charge. And guess what? During this series, we watched him evolve. During this series.
Yep.
Right? First two games, he was doing everything. The last two games that they had, the pivotal games, the third and fourth win, he was kicking out. He was finding an open man. He was realizing how they were defending him, and he was finding the weaknesses in their defense. And he just continued to break them down. The versatility, the fact that he was able to come out and switch on Chris Paul, the fact that he was able to get a tremendous block on Devin Booker. All the defining moments in here really belongs to him. You think about the alley-oop. You think about the LeBron James run-down, pin-down block. You think about the alley-oop where he raised himself to the heavens. He went up there. You thought Bezos was high the other day. He went up there with Bezos and say, all right, sorry, I got an appointment with the rim for two. I holla.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. He was just amazing, and it makes me think about the all-time great performances, not in terms of the entire series, because, yeah, he was amazing the entire series. I'm talking about the closeout game. I remember Worthy closing out the Pistons, no offense. I remember, I know about Clyde in 1970. The only other one I could ever put this with, just because the gravity of it, is Magic in 1980.
Oh, yeah, when he put the team on the back, when he went to center.
And he's playing center because Kareem is hurt. And he's a rookie, and he goes for 42-15. That's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing else that I would put up against this as far as the all-time closeout performances.
It's crazy, right? I mean, like you said, it's hard to connect the dots going backwards, right? But we didn't expect Magic to be that. Just think about the expectations. Like, people didn't even think Giannis, when he was drafted, would even make the team, let alone be who he is. And that's why I think him and Chris Middleton bond is so tight, because both of these guys are self-made guys. Look at Chris Middleton's journey. Right? Both of these guys are heavily flawed stars. Chris Middleton was a second-round draft pick. He played in the G League, right? And so when Budenholzer says, hey, this was on these guys can push each other, and he can get into Giannis's head because they walked this journey together, because they are both considered the best to be unsung heroes. And now they're leading men. And you have to give credit to both of those guys because they showed up and showed out. And, you know, Jrue Holiday just continued to wear Devin Booker down. And Devin Booker tried to do too much because he's never been in this situation before. Chris Paul understood the gravity, and he tried to do it, but at his advanced age, he just didn't have enough.
He did everything he could. Nobody else was helping him. Cam Johnson wasn't there. I mean, Ayton was awful.
Pain, I thought. They did what we
– didn't play him enough.
But they did exactly what I said. If you notice, Chris Paul set the whole second half of the third quarter.
But he still only
finish.
Played 10 minutes. He should have played more, I think.
10 minutes, 10 points.
Yep, I agree with you. And Crowder was fine. But That aside, now it actually brings an interesting question. I want to get your take on this at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. There was one thing that Giannis was particularly proud of last night. That was being in Milwaukee and doing it in a place where he won and not going somewhere else. Listen to Giannis on this topic and everything he had to say and clearly what it meant to him. And think for a moment as you're listening to this, does this have an effect on other young stars?
Man, I couldn't leave. You know, there was a job that had to be finished. You know, I feel like the bubble did not pay us justice. You know, give credit to Miami Heat. They played great, but it did not pay us justice. Like, everybody was feeling homesick. We're a family-oriented team. Wanted to see our families. But, you know, coming back, I was like, this is my city. You know, they trust me. They believed in me. They believed in us. Even when we were, like, we were lost, the city still was, like, on our side. And, you know, obviously, I wanted to get the job done. You know, but that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go, I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way I chose to do it. And we did it. Bravo. We did it, man.
And he didn't, the last words he left out there were James Harden, by the way. It may be a little bit much when hear him talk about it that way.
But that's his perspective. That's his belief.
And he does believe that this is not that level of super team. I think it is a terrific team, as it turns out. But I wonder if there's any part of younger players, the Zions, the Ja Morants,
hell no,
that would look at this a little bit differently now.
I mean, it's cute. But for every Isaiah Thomas heartache, figure out how to win a championship, every Giannis story, it's 25, okay, super team type of stories. And listen, I disagree with Giannis when you say that it's easy to go to a super team and win, because we've seen a lot of super teams assembled. We haven't seen a lot win, right? So we've seen this stuff before. I mean, I can remember when the new breed Pistons beat a team that had Gary Payton, Karl Malone, Kobe Bryant, yep, Shaquille O'Neal on it, and they still came up crickets, right? We've seen it before. And, you know, that takes a different type of sacrifice, because you're trying to have three guys sacrifice their game and define their roles. Now, I do want to give them credit, but, you know, Chris Middleton was paid and considered an all-star, superstar.
Yep.
Jrue Holiday is considered a superstar. So it's not like he maybe didn't go join a super team, but they tried to assemble their version of a super team when they put all that money into those two players that was not drafted by them. You know, so the last team, if anybody want to poke their chest out and say, hey, that, you know, I didn't run and go join a super team, it's the original Golden State Warriors that had Steph, the Splash Brothers, and Draymond Green that won it like that. You know, you could say they brought in Iguodala, but that was the original, like, homegrown team.
Let's hear from the people. 888.
What say the people?
Say ESPN, 888-729-3776. Kay in Connecticut starts us off today. Kay, you're on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I just wanted to hit on a couple points. I was telling some people when the Nets series was going on, once Giannis starts to realize who he is and how physical he is, it's going to be over. And as you see, as the series went on and other series went on, he realized who he was. And just to top this off, after Shaq won his first ring, you see he came out to be that difficult person, just like Tim Duncan. So I think later on down the line, Giannis is going to feel and realize who he is, and they may win more than one championship.
Now, let me make this clear. This is a wrap. This is one and done. It'll be another 20 years before Milwaukee ever wins a title again. Like, let me tell you something. The stars lined up, and sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. But come on now. And I think Vegas understands that, too.
Well,
because when
the
odds came out, what exactly did they say, Christopher? Who's number one? Who's the space? Is it Milwaukee? Chance to repeat? They're going to get DiVincenzo back next year, so they should be even stronger? Who's the favorite?
According to Caesars William Hill, Bart, the favorite is the Brooklyn Nets.
You damn straight.
At plus 225. The second favorite is the Lakers at
damn
plus
straight.
400. And then the Bucks at plus 900. But I'll tell you this.
Who's number four? Who's number four? Because that is the most interesting one of all of them to me, Christopher, a.k.a. Baby Buddha, a.k.a. Bob from guess who?
The Golden State Warriors.
Aha! Aha! There's no spoon.
That's fine.
Vegas knows something.
That's fine. They may know something. I'll go put $100 on the Bucks at 9-1. I'll take it right now.
I'm going to put $2,000 on the Golden State Warriors because I believe.
You always got a one up.
Dame Dollar, Dame Dilly, a Dame Dummy is going to be going to Golden State, and Vegas knows it.
I can't listen to this noise. How about Tessa in New Jersey? Tessa, what's
up? What up, Tessa? No, the brick. We miss you, Tessa. Listen, where you been?
Listen, I had to get another procedure on my knee, so I was down for the count. Like,
You're worse than Kawhi. You're worse than Kawhi. Christ.
You know what I was? I was on the bench. I couldn't even call y'all. Half the time, I couldn't even listen because I was on the bench. So you're right. I was just like, Kawhi.
Quit crossing up. You know what I'm saying? Just spot up.
But, Bart, I didn't want to know that because I've been out for a while. Is Allen coming back?
Man, listen. What happened was that remains to be determined.
He's filling it. He's doing it in the mornings with Zubin, so we're waiting to, you know, hopefully Zubin's gonna be healthy.
Okay,
soon.
Okay. No, Chris, AKA Big Buddha. I'm happy. I was just asking. You know, I love Allen.
It's not big. We're not fat shaming. It's not Big Buddha. It's Baby Buddha.
Baby.
He got baby.
It takes a lot to fat shame.
I just want to tell you guys this. You already know how much I despise that super team with the Nets. So let's bring that up. They are the biggest super team that just came about, and they freaking lost. So, no, I do agree with Giannis. He's very loyal. He's almost like Dame Dollar. That's why Dame Dollar didn't want to leave Portland. He wanted people coming to him. He wanted to win in Portland. And
he's
that's
the first
what
guy I thought
Giannis
of, yeah.
just did.
But Dame Dollar's going
to
leave. Dave Dollar's going to leave. He ain't dumb. Because remember, Tessa, remember, you know, Kevin Garnett, right, and how loyal he was, right? But he realized that the organization wasn't capable enough of building a team around him. And it hurt Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett drugged that team to the playoffs and played with his heart and soul. And he realized, so for every Giannis, there's a Kevin Durant out there, I mean, a Kevin Garnett that says, you know what, I got to leave. And he said his biggest regret is that he didn't find himself the Boston earlier, because you can be loyal to a fault. And I want to make sure that Dame Dollar don't look at this at the age of 31. You know, Giannis is 26 years old. Don't let Dame at the age of 31. They've already wasted 8 years of Dame's. Like, Dame, don't do it. Do not do it.
But then there's Chris Paul and what this now does to him, because you talk about everything lining up brilliantly for Giannis. Yeah. It couldn't have lined up better for Chris Paul to get his ring. And that is still a wide gap on his resume right now. Here he is after the game last night.
It'll take a while to process this or whatnot, but it's the same mentality. Get back to work. You know what I mean? I ain't retiring, if that's what you're asking. That's out. So, you know, back to work.
Yeah, he mean that. And see, this was like, see, Tessa calls in and she's the biggest LeBron fan.
Yep.
And she sat up here, and I wanted to keep her on just for a little bit because she talked about how much she despises super teams. Well, her favorite hero, her rising son, is LeBrick James, who created, you know, or he was the evolution of the super team. And it's reports that if CP3 doesn't stay with Phoenix, where the hell you think he's going? He's going to visit with LeBrick James and be part of the Banana Boat crew, putting 2/3 of the group back together again. And is that not a super team? But I bet you she wouldn't hold LeBrick to the same standards that she would James Harden.
There are so many.
I'm serving soup.
So many aspects of this that we're going to get into over the next couple of hours at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. In just a little bit, we will talk to one of the people with the heartbeat of the city of Milwaukee. What exactly did it mean for a city without a championship in 50 years to get one last night? That in just moments after Bart tells you about our friends from Credit Karma.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
What are you falling asleep on me?
I've been up since 4:30. Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there is no need to wait. With Credit Karma money, you could win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. And when you make those purchases between now and July 23rd, you'll automatically be entered for a chance to win $1 million. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and have your chance to start winning Instant Karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchases necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank, Inc. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Call back. I got receipts. We want the calls today. Your reaction back after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Yeah. Drop and give me 50. Giannis. This should be his theme song. Like I gave Perk the Percolator. Drop and get me 50. Drop and get me 50. I tell you what, this might be the most impressive closeout performance ever.
Like I said, the only one I'd put it up there with is Magic in 80. That's
and I
it.
Wonder, I wonder That's the it. People. And we have a guest that knows him very well, right? I wonder if the people, the fans of Milwaukee that watched him come in as a young whippersnapper wet behind the ears, have seen some great performance from him. I wonder, even in their eyes, if this is the greatest one, Christopher.
We'll ask in just a moment. First up, family is everything. And I've got peace of mind knowing my family is taken care of with life insurance. I recommend SelectQuote. SelectQuote has been helping families for over 35 years. Plus, quotes are free. And you can go to SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com. Don't forget, quotes are free. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. Right now, we go to the Goodyear Hotline to welcome in from ESPN Milwaukee co-host of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy morning show for ESPN Milwaukee, Gabe Neitzel, who joins us right now. Gabe, has the city of Milwaukee slept as of yet?
Absolutely not. We are still going strong. We're rolling through. A number of people that we talked to this morning on our morning show were either on their way to work with no sleep or already at work with no sleep. So the celebration lasted deep, deep, deep into the night, and it might just keep on rolling. We've got the parade tomorrow Peter Fagan announced, Bucks president, let everybody know that last night. So we've got the parade tomorrow. It just might just keep rolling. Because it's the first time in 50 years we've been able to celebrate one of these.
Jeez, Gabe, that's very arrogant of you guys to have a parade 2 days later. That means you guys knew you were going to win in six. Tell me this, Gabe. You don't just do a parade in 2 days unless you already had some planning. Tell me this, Gabe. Were you one of the fans? Because I saw this trend on social media of fans ripping the shirt, drinking the beer, and smacking their chest and saying, in six. Did you rip your shirt? Did you contain any alcoholic beverages? And did you say, in six?
I did not rip off the shirt. Definitely had some alcoholic beverages. Definitely chanted Bucks in six, which is – so I think this gets lost a little bit, what Bucks in six is. It ends up being very serendipitous that the Bucks win – their first title in 50 years in six games. It starts back with Brandon Jennings, who was at the game last night. Bucks invited him there. He was 1 year when he was on the team, they were playing the LeBron, D-Wade, Bosh Heat, and somebody asked him about that series. And he said, hey, you know what? I like our chances. I'm taking the Bucks in six. And from that moment, like Bucks in six just became something and a part of the Bucks culture. Just the Bucks fans loved the confidence of Brandon Jennings. They knew they weren't going to win in six because that was a pretty good team and the Bucks weren't very good back then. But it just started growing from there back in 2013 all the way to now. So Bucks in six, it just has, you know, it's like a greeting you say to another Bucks fan. Just, hey, Bucks in six. Oh, hi, how you doing? Bucks in six. So that's where that comes from. And that's why I think everybody was also so excited. They were actually able to win this series in six and close it out at home. It all just was very, it just kind of came together in the end. They had to win at six, and it had to be at home.
Thanks for the education. To second part of my question, the parade is tomorrow. Do you expect minority owner A-Ron to be there?
I don't. I really don't. If he didn't show up to any of the finals games, I don't expect him to be at the parade, because as much as he does really love the Bucks, and he's been a part of that, he's shown up at a lot of different games in the past. He's also, you know, he realizes the situation he's in, and he doesn't want to take away anything going on from the Milwaukee Bucks. He knows that this is their moment, and if he shows up at the parade tomorrow, then that just kind of becomes a subplot. That becomes the side story, and I don't think he wants that. I think he wants, you know, last night, I think he wants tomorrow to be all about the Milwaukee Bucks and them celebrating their championship.
No Aaron Rodgers then. No Aaron Rodgers tomorrow at the parade. We're talking to Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee's morning show, co-host of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on the Goodyear Hotline. Goodyear helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Gabe, just simply, what does this mean to the city of Milwaukee?
I mean, I think it means a lot, especially for, you know, to have Giannis choose Milwaukee. Now, he wasn't chosen to be drafted here, but he chose Milwaukee when he signed that Supermax before the start of the season. You know, there's the Packers, you know, they're up in Green Bay and they're very much a statewide team, but there's something different about the Bucks, and the Bucks are Milwaukee. So to have that championship, especially have it here, I just think after, and everybody had to deal with the lockdown and COVID-19, but last year was supposed to be a pretty special year for the city of Milwaukee as it's kind of coming back, I would say, and the Bucks have been such a big part of that and what they've built around Fiserv Forum downtown, kind of a revitalization of that area of the city. I mean, last year was potentially a special summer for Milwaukee where we were going to have the DNC and have the city on, you know, under the national microscope, and people could see the city, potentially the Bucks making a deep playoff run. And then that, you know, COVID, you know, we've got the Ryder Cup coming up, and COVID shut all that down. So we didn't get that opportunity. So to be able to bounce, see this team bounce back the way they did after losing last year in the bubble, seeing it with, you know, guys that have really embraced not just the team, but the city, not just Giannis, not just Chris Middleton, but Jrue Holiday. I mean, Jrue Holiday, they trade for him. He comes in, and right away, he's donating a big chunk of his salary from this year to minority-owned businesses in the city of Milwaukee. So he really embraced the city. And I think because of that, the city just embraced them back. To see what Giannis has had a lot of great moments on the court, but I think he's had some great ones off the court during this finals where he was talking about, you know, the difference between, you know, how he stays humble and the difference between your ego and pride and all those different things, and the way he was able to wax poetic at the podium last night. He's just really been able to connect to the city of Milwaukee. So it feels like it means so much because of the way the fans and this team have connected to each other.
Gabe, it was an incredible scene. Get some sleep, and I'm sure it's going to be a few days for you where you're going to be trying to catch up when the weekend comes. Thanks again for popping on.
Oh, you bet. Anytime, guys.
Gabe Neitzel, ESPN Milwaukee on the Goodyear Hotline, co-host of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, the morning show out there. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's hit some of these calls on it. Mel in Queens is up next on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. What's up?
What's going on, guys? Enjoying the show. I was listening to Bart. He backed off that Chris Paul excuses, but I agree with him with the super teams and everybody's not guaranteed. And with that, let me say this about the super teams, right? There's a difference between what Kevin Durant and James Harden and what LeBron did, right? LeBron has got a super team because Boston got a super team. Right after LeBron beat the best team in the East that was dominating the East for years, the Detroit Pistons, Boston said, we can't stop this guy. We're going to build a super team. So LeBron built a super team to beat that super team, and then he had to face the Spurs with Duncan, Ginobili, Parker, and Kawhi in the finals. So you need a super team for that. What Kevin Durant did is something totally different. He ran into a team that was already established, and he had a super, you know, he had Westbrook already. So he didn't have to do that. He was up 3-1. Going right this year with the Nets. The Lakers won with two stars. So
can I stop him? Can I just interject for just a second? Listen, the idea that this was the first time or LeBron or Kevin Durant was the first super team. It's crazy, right? Because I remember those Pistons, right, that went out and traded Adrian Dantley, went out and got Mark McGwire, who was the first overall pick, was a hell of a scorer. We've seen the super teams all the time. I mean, we've seen Shaq go become a super team and join forces in L.A. We saw, like, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who had won as Lou Alcindor in Milwaukee. He didn't pitch his tent to Milwaukee. He left too. So, like, you know, I think what Kevin Durant did is he realized that he didn't like playing with Westbrook. It was more about that. He didn't like how they had to go, okay, your turn, my turn, this turn. I mean, they had their big three. They had Harden. Listen, can you imagine if that big three would have stayed together? But they couldn't play together. They couldn't mesh together. So, I mean, I think that the idea of a super team beating a super team, we've always had guys join forces. Hell, was not the Bulls a super team when they went out and got Dennis Rodman after he was the biggest foe for them? He was the guy with the Jordan rules, clothesline in Jordan. You know what Jordan did? He signed him.
Exactly. And this has been going on even before that. I'm sorry, were the Lakers with Magic, Jabbar, and James Worthy not a super team? This is the point. It's about how the team gets assembled.
Right.
That aggravates people. That's why everybody got aggravated with LeBron and D-Wade in Miami with Chris Bosh. Same thing. It's about how it comes together. Right. You're okay if you draft a super team.
Right.
Now, the super team thing to me is such an overused term at this point.
Yep.
And I think we need to get past that because we just saw a team with a superstar and two high-level stars win a championship. You need three big-time players to win titles. That's all there is to it.
Well, the Pistons is like weird, right? Because you think about the ultimate team winners.
But you know they're the aberration when
Right. I'm talking about right. But they went and made that trade for Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah.
Right? So it was that. You could say Tayshaun Prince. They had a bunch of good players and no great players. Like, now what I'm saying is you see guys with a superstar, and then they may have some complimentary pieces. The Pistons were the first team that kind of had a bunch of guys that were like all good, none of them perennial all-stars, nobody a generational talent.
Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Up next, more of your calls on where Giannis now sits in the grand scheme of the NBA at the moment, and as among the all-time greats, even at the age of 26. But we also take a look elsewhere at a team vying for a championship. Is it possible to actually reinvent yourselves mid-season along the way? What am I talking about? We'll tell you in moments. It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Go, Prince. I thought Prince was from Minnesota. Is that
he
the same
is from
place?
Minnesota.
That's the same, technically?
Well, it's not the same state. No.
Okay, my bad. I don't know. Listen, man, I failed geometry. I tell you what. And it geography. Let me tell you something. Hey, do anybody know, like, is it just me? But does Bobby Portis look like Plexico Burress? Do they got the same daddy? Do we know? I'm going to call Plex. Plex my guy, man. I'm like, listen, man. Pops might be tripping, man. We might have to do some Ancestry.com and do a DNA test because I think your brother played for the Bucks.
They do look a lot alike.
How did you talk about embracing him? How did he become the cool guy? That's what I should have asked Gabe. How did Bobby Portis become arguably the most popular person, you know, in there? You know, you always had these unsung heroes, the characters that people love. It seems like Bobby Portis is the guy that they chose to just rally around.
He is that guy because he just came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden last night, the 16. Closeout game, he's lighting it up.
16, man. Baby Plex, that's what I'm going to call him.
And not only that, gave it to them in spots where they needed it, too.
And did you see Chris Paul? Like, he looked at Chris Paul like, child, please. Man, he palmed the entire chest of Chris Paul. Like, man, if you don't get your little ass away from me trying to act like you tough, I slapped the Beijing out in front of your hairline.
Okay. Okay. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Listen, just because you lost yours, CP3 lost his. He got that hit. No, it's okay, man. But you know, he got that hit where he do the, like, the one guard is super low, then he put a little Beijing and make sure each follicle look a little thicker. Chris, we can see your old scalp. You ain't fooling nobody.
You're saying that he's got the spray?
No, it's the Beijing. It's like a little, like, you brush it, and it's like a little dye. So they attach to the hair follicle.
Okay.
It's all good, man. All the greats have lost their hair, CP.
I mean, I know people that I thought I could swear when you look at their hair that they bought that spray paint, bought every can in the back of their closet.
I tried to get you a lace front one time. You just didn't agree. No, I was going to get you a whole high top fade. You know what this is?
What this is? Low maintenance. That's what this is. That's what I'm about. I'm a low maintenance life.
But you know who also has it? Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers got the brush on hair too. Anyway, let's go.
To each his own. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want to, before I get back to the phones, just turn. Do you see what's going on with the Yankees right now?
I know Sweaty Palms got called up.
Yeah, that's a Esteban Florial. He had a home run last night. The Yankees are all of a sudden running the bases a lot differently because they've got these guys that are fill-in guys like Greg Allen, who's got tremendous speed, and they've got some guys that you would not necessarily expect to be coming through in big situations, and they're playing a different brand of baseball. They're still hitting some home runs, but it's not sitting around and waiting for the home run.
Manufacturing
runs. Is it possible for a team to reinvent itself mid-season if it's not going right? I mean, almost by accident, changing your identity.
Yeah, but I don't believe so. And this is why, Chris, because we know that the Yankees are stubborn. And somebody in the little geek squad, the analytic department, is going to say, we have to bring the guys, as they get healthy and start to come back, they're going to send those guys that produced, send them down like they used to do with Wade, like they used to do with Clint Frazier, like they did with Andujar when he was on fire and he shouldn't have never got sent down. They messed up his confidence, all that type of stuff when he lost his job. Like, they want to play a certain way. They believe in a certain way because of the analytic department, and they may have lucked themselves into a something, but they're going to take it right back, and then they're going to go right back to losing.
My thing is, though, when you have players like this, they're not guys that are big-time prospects or anything. Florial was at one point, but I'm riding those guys as long as I can while they're hot. I mean, Allen's 28 years old. He's back in the big leagues. To me, when you have that chance, you ride that guy until he's got nothing left, and then, no offense, we'll move on.
Yeah, you treat him like a rental car. You know what I'm saying? You put a McDonald's wrapper, smoke cigarettes in it, and you turn the music up louder. Who cares? You blow the speakers.
There is nothing worse than getting in a rental car that somebody's been smoking in.
I mean, the worst ones. Cool 100, menthols. Be all up in your bag. Get on your clothes.
I get in there, I sit down, it's a pack of cools right underneath my butt. Oh, my God. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got Punchy Bart in the studio today.
Punch drunk.
Punchy Bart. More on the NBA Finals next.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.